In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, and I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you today. We love to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many wonderful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer at the end of the rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to pray with us and to pray for us and obtain for us many special graces today. As we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's turn to our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. He is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. He's also known as the Interior Master. He's also known as our Consoler. Also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier, as well as the Interior Master. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. Just beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light. A lot of peace. A lot of joy. A lot of insight. Is to pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Pope Paul VI, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Oscar Romero, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How true, my friends, a family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. So after praying with you, I will pray for you. After praying with you, I will pray for you. I'll pray for you in the greatest of all prayers, and that prayer is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. In that prayer, I'll place you on the altar and offer the following prayers. First, that all of us today would be open to the workings and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray for our families, for the conversion the sanctification and the salvation of our families. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Finally, with all of you, let's pray for those who will be dying sometime today, that they would be saved. For the dying, that they would be saved. And for ourselves, that we would be granted the grace of all graces, which is to die in the state of grace. The grace of all graces. To die in the state of grace, so that we'll be saved. So I'll place all of you on the altar, that God will bless you in a special way today. An overview of today, and I'd like to start off by talking about a relatively newly canonized saint. We have the first reading of the first encyclical of the first Pope, Saint Peter. He speaks about the fact that we were ransomed, bought back, not by gold or silver or by the blood of rams, but we have been redeemed and bought back by the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. What great dignity we have. Psalm says, praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Highest form of prayer is that of praise. And that's done in the context of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Holy sacrifice of the Mass, we're called to praise God the Father, to offer God the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. To praise God the Father. The offering of God the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Gospel presents Jesus surrounded by his disciples, and they're heading toward Jerusalem. And on the way, our Lord is making a prophecy that he will suffer much at the hands of the scribes and Pharisees. He'll be rejected. He'll be crucified. But on the third day, he'll rise from the dead. As they're heading to Jerusalem, and our Lord makes this prophecy of his paschal mystery, to the disciples, ask the Lord for a favor. And it's James and John. They ask if they can sit at his right and his left in the kingdom. Jesus says they do not know what they're asking for. And he says, can you drink from the chalice that I drink from? They said, yes, we can. He says, you will. Making a prophecy that they will have to suffer. James will be martyred. John will suffer very much. Can you be baptized with the baptism that I was baptized with? Yes, we can. And Jesus says, but giving you the seat at my right and my left is not for me to give. The other disciples, hearing about this, they become indignant. The Lord takes this opportunity to teach them a lesson that the great of this world try to lord over others and make their power felt. But it shouldn't be that way for you. Jesus says, whoever wants to be great among you should be willing to serve. And then he says that the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. So to serve is to reign, and to reign is to serve. We want to be great, we should be willing to serve others, Jesus says. Now, first reading is taken from the first Pope. Now, Jesus is speaking about the importance of service. And I think this is a good segue into a relatively new saint. Today we celebrate, my friends, the optional memorial of, are you ready? Pope St. Paul VI. And the Pope, when he signs his letters, will often say, servant of servants. As Jesus said in the Gospel today, in imitation of Christ, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. So the power of the office is not made to dominate, but rather to serve others. So I'd like to talk, I'd like to relate the gospel of service. The gospel of service I'd like to relate to the service that the vicar of Christ, starting with Peter, we have Peter, the first reading today, we're listening to the first encyclical, first letter of Peter, Jesus saying that he came to serve. Now let's talk about one of God's modern servants. His name is Pope. His name is Pope St. Paul. Pope St. Paul the Sixth. Pope St. Paul the Sixth. Pope St. Paul the Sixth was born in Italy, close to Milan. A native of Concesio, Italy. He was ordained a priest and then he served the Vatican diplomatic corps for 30 years. And then he was archbishop of one of the most important dioceses in the world, Milan, where he had St. Ambrose and St. Charles of Borromeo. And he served as Archbishop Cardinal Milan for about 9 years. Then in 1963, Pope John the 23rd died, and the conclave met, and the cardinals elected. His name was Giovanni Battista Montini, John the Baptist. Giovanni Battista Montini was elected as the new pope in 1963. So a little bit of ecclesiology and the contributions, how this man really lived out the gospel. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life in ransom for many. Those are the words of Jesus in the gospel. And no doubt Pope Paul the Sixth did this. So let's talk briefly about this great man of God. He served from 1963 to 1978. And I remember when he died, I just finished graduating from the university. Remember he died, it was on August 6th, because he died on the feast day of the Transfiguration. So he served for about 15 years. And after he died, there was an election of Pope John Paul I, known as Luciani. And then he died about a month after he was elected Pope, John Paul I. Then in October that same year, John Paul II was elected. So he had three popes. Actually, he had four popes in just a matter of a few months. John the 23rd, Pope John Paul the 1st, Paul the 6th, and then John Paul the 2nd. And John Paul the 2nd would reign from 1978 all the way up to the year 2005. So he was actually canonized, John Paul the Paul the 6th, with another saint, and that was, maybe you've heard of Oscar Romero, who was the Bishop of Salvador that was you might even call it martyred. So we have the canonization of Oscar Romero and Paul the 6th together, as John the 23rd was actually canonized with John Paul the 2nd. So let's talk at least briefly about Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. Let's talk about how Pope Paul the 6th serve the Holy Roman Catholic Church. He lived in a time of a lot of turmoil. Time of great transition. Now, of all of the contributions of Pope Paul VI, all of his contributions of Pope Paul VI, I'll mention a few. The first would be, and this is of capital importance, Pope Paul the 6th lived in the wake of his predecessor, John the 23rd, how one pope will often build upon the popes that precede him. Is that Pope John the 23rd was pope for about 5 years. And he started, to the surprise of many, one of the most important councils of the history of the church. And that was the Second Vatican Council. The Second Vatican Council. So John the 23rd, shocking many clerics and cardinals, starts one of the most important ecclesial moments in the history of Catholicism. He starts the Second Vatican Council. But during this course, the council, we had the bishops coming from all over the world. John the 23rd dies. So it was Pope Paul the 6th that brought this council to a conclusion. Very, very important moment in the history of the church. And we have the church documents. And here is a summary of the church documents, Vatican II, the conciliar and post-conciliar documents, edited out by Austin Flannery, O.P. So Paul the VI was the one that brought together the Council Fathers to conclude it. So this would be considered one of the greatest contributions of Pope Paul the VI. Pope Paul the VI. The Vatican's of Vatican II. There are 16 key documents but there are four pillar documents that basically form the modern church. And these would be De Verbum, Sacrosanctum Concilium, I'll put the initials, Gaudium Spes, and then Lumen Gentium. So I purposely wrote them for all of us, because it's kind of difficult, the Latin. These are called the four dogmatic constitutions in the Second Vatican Council. So it was as a result of Pope Paul the VI that these were brought to fruition. Now in the Perseverance family, we come together. We're here to go deeper into sacred scripture. We're here to get to know the saints. We're going through the catechism of the Catholic Church little by little. We're going through the Word of God. But also I'm trying to form you theologically and in an ecclesial manner. So thanks be to God that we have these. And I'll just give you, in honor of Paul the VI, I like to just go through just give you a brief summary of these and speak a little bit more about the great contribution of Pope Paul VI. And Dei Verbum, my friends, the essence of Dei Verbum is the importance of divine revelation and the Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. The Council wants us to read and meditate the Word of God more often. And the Council will actually quote the great Saint Jerome, who was instrumental in translating the Bible from the Greek and Aramaic into the Latin, called the vernacular. So the Council is motivating Catholics to read and meditate the riches of the Word of God. Now, Sacrosanctum Concilium is a document that highlights the importance of the liturgy. Most specifically, the Mass. Mass, which is the source and summit of our Catholic faith. That's probably about the most quoted passage from Sacrosanctum Concilium, the source and summit of our Catholic faith, is the liturgy of the Mass, as well as this often quoted passage from Sacrosanctum Concilium. And that is, we should participate in the Mass. Participate fully, actively, and consciously. So we're called to participate fully, actively, and consciously in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Then let's move to the next one. Gaudium et Spes. All of this can be found in this. I have a document. The best translation will be Austin Flannery if you want to have a good one. This is a version that has bigger print for we who are getting older. Good. Sophie spelt it well. That's good. It's a hard word. Sophie's Latin is pretty good. Sacrosanctum Concilium. Next would be Gaudium et Spes, which means joy and hope. Who was behind this was Karol Wojtyla, known as John Paul II. And Gaudium et Spes basically presents the struggles of the Church in the modern world. I'd like to just quote one of the ideas or phrases from Gaudium et Spes, in which the Council Father says, unfortunately, there is a dichotomy. A dichotomy or separation between the faith that we profess and the faith that we don't live. And God in Spes will speak about the danger of the growth of atheism, mentioning there's two types of atheism. There's what is called dogmatic atheism as well as practical atheism. Dogmatic atheism, Karl Marx, Das Kapital. Religion is the opium of the people. Whereas practical atheism, would be those who profess to be Catholic but obliterated by the way they live. This is gaudium et spes. And then the last dogmatic constitution would be that which is probably most quoted among theologians and spiritual writers, and that's Lumen Gentium, which means light for all the people. And that is composed of 8 chapters. So just briefly, because Bob may have missed one of the documents, De Verbum, on Divine Revelation, the Bible, Sacrosanctum Concilium, the liturgy, specifically the Mass, Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the Modern World, and the challenges that the Church is going through. Also speaks about the importance of the family in the modern world, family which is the domestic church. And then Lumen Gentium, the last one I mentioned, light for all the people, which consists of 8 chapters. 5th chapter I really love very much. Lumen Gentium speaks about the hierarchical structure within the church. You've got the laity, you've got the clerics, you got the priesthood, you got the episcopacy. Chapter 5 is one of my favorites. It is the universal call to holiness. So when they say the universal call to holiness, what does that mean? It means specifically that all of us, universal call to holiness, all of us are called to become saints. As Jesus says, he says, be holy. Be holy because your Heavenly Father is holy. This is the will of God, your Father, your sanctification. This is the will of your Heavenly Father, your sanctification. The 8th chapter of the Second Vatican Council is the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the Church. And that would be Mater Ecclesiae. Mary is the mother of the Church. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, who was present in the Second Vatican Council, said that when the Church Fathers declared Mary as the mother of the Church, they stood up and they clapped. They stood up and they clapped. There was a long round of applause that lasted for a long time. So, my friends, today I'm giving you a mini course in ecclesiology, which is important that we get to know church history as well as kind of an overview of the church documents. So there are 16 documents in Vatican II, but the four pillars. These are called the four pillars of the four dogmatic constitutions. Four pillars of the four dogmatic constitutions, which are the foundation of the church in the modern world, would be, as I mentioned earlier, Dei Verbum. Let's get in the habit, my friends, of reading and meditating upon the Word of God. Sacrosanctum Concilium. Let us participate fully, actively, and consciously in the source and summit of our faith, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Gaudium et Spes. Let's pray that we would be authentic Catholics. Not just word, but deed. Finally, let us pray. From Lumen Gentium, chapter 5, the universal call to holiness. As Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta says, holiness, my friends, holiness is not the privilege of the few, but it is the duty of all of us. We're all called to become saints. As Jesus says, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. My friends, this is St. Pope Paul VI. I will have to leave you just a few minutes early today. We can continue our conversation tomorrow. But honor Mary. Mary is the mother of the church. May is the month of Mary. And I'd like to impart to all of you my priestly blessing. And let's pray for each other. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you with a lot of wisdom and knowledge of your Catholic faith, and you'll be able to share it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.